From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk to you. It's Mailbag Day. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times bestselling authors, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Ross. We are kicking off today with just a little look back at last week's episode when we were talking about Greek words. And there was one more word that you guys wanted to bring up to me.
Well, it's because we're doing the weird word of the week, and this is yet another Greek one that is a weird word. Did we gave you the word, did we not, Fletcher?
Yeah, you did. I don't know that I've seen this word before, so this is going to be not very easy for me. It's spelled E-U-N-O-I-A. Eunoia, I guess, is probably how it's pronounced.
Very good, yeah.
Now, I do know, or I learned, that EU sort of means good.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a clue now. Okay, if you go on and let's see, if you're having a problem, I'm going to give you a really good clue.
I am having a problem because I don't know what noia means.
Okay, you probably saw, knowing you, you're a real film buff. There was a film in 2001 about a mathematician.
Oh, A Beautiful Mind you're talking about?
Yep, okay. You got it. That was quick. Okay. What does eunoia mean now?
Well, I still don't know. I don't remember. I probably haven't seen that movie since 2002. So, yeah, I still don't know what eunoia would mean. Good something. Good.
Well, beautiful thinking. A beautiful mind.
Oh, you're just relating it to the title. See, that's my problem watching too many movies. I'm like, oh, wait, which part of the movie are they talking about?
I know.
Okay. It means good thinking, good thought, good mind.
Yeah.
So, like, when are we using this word?
That's my problem with it. Kath likes this word. I don't.
I've never used it, but I think it's a really nice word, eunoia. It's like, it looks cool.
I think two things happened to me. You're going to use it because it comes from the Greek word nous, N-O-U-S, would mean mind.
Oh, yes.
But the point is, like, if I say eunoia, people think, like, what a jerk. Why is he saying that? Or I have no idea what you're saying or thinking. I think
I think they would say, you annoy me too. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I really think it's one of those words that I think, you know, they'll probably put in like, you know, improve your vocabulary. And then you have this word and who cares? I wouldn't use it.
Well, okay, in fairness, I said I liked the word. I didn't say I was going to use the mm-hmm. word because you mm-hmm. know me. I'm a Hemingway girl. I really am a very abrupt speaker. But I think it's nice to have this word round.
I think we should take this word and put it in the drawer and close the drawer.
Well,
I think
that's the difference, right, Ross? You're putting the word in the drawer and Kathy's pasting it up on the wall and neither of you are really saying
yes.
it.
But... Everybody's happy. All righty. Let's move on from eunoia. This is mailbag day.
Oh, great.
So we're going to start with Chrissy in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Chrissy.
Who wrote us. And this was after we did that thing about y'all.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, hey, Kathy and Ross, native Pennsylvanian here. Yous, often followed by guys, is a Philly South Jersey word, while yins, I love yins, is Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Use like y'all, typically used as a plural. Yins is used both singularly and plurally, unironically, by older native Pittsburghers, known colloquially as yinzers, and ironically by younger. I love that distinction, the older and the younger. I did.
Wow.
And then she said that she grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania, moved to Pittsburgh. And she did not grow up saying yous that her Philadelphian mother dropped, but she's guilty of using you guys, but she wanted to do the yinzer. She wanted to get that yins in there.
Yeah.
This was interesting to us for another reason, too. Did you know yins prior to us discussing anything about it or not?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard it before. When we talked about it, I think a few weeks ago, I couldn't remember for sure that it was Pittsburgh. But yeah, I've heard that exists. I don't really know anybody who uses it.
I don't either. Kathy was really familiar with it. I was like vaguely, I think the sound was there, but I didn't really know it, but it was interesting. But do you know that one thing I'm going to ask you, Fletcher, is do you know what it evolved from, which is interesting?
I always assumed it was like U1s.
You got it.
Very good. Fletcher, you are very bright. I'm glad we worked with you.
You got it. Thanks. But the other thing that really sort of gets me about this whole thing is in English, we really kind of have a problem with like standard English. We're trying to say we can do yins, y'all, yous, or you guys. Mm-hmm. And there's not really like a formal way to get that concept across. I mean, we have to, you know, kind of like be cash about it, which is really kind of interesting. And I'm now beginning to revert a lot to you guys. And, you know, some people say, well, that's a male thing, but I've heard so many people go, you guys, like, in a, you know, anywhere for men, for women, for boys, for girls and all that. And I'm wondering if you guys will eventually enter in, but it looks too casual. So I'm not sure it will enter into the mainstream formal language.
I agree with you, Ross, but I cannot use y'all. I can only use you guys. You use y'all, as we've talked about.
Yeah, which I got from Mom.
And you guys, yeah, but from the South. Fletcher, do you do y'all, you guys, or what?
Yeah, both.
What do you use?
Both. I would say more. Yeah. I would say more commonly you guys, but I'm also like you mentioned, I'm also conscious of people not liking you guys for the gendered reasons. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So therefore, what still gets me the most though is like you're making a speech.
Yeah.
And you want to thank everyone for being here. And you want to thank you. So you go, thank you. I would say thank you all for being here.
Yes.
You all, two words.
I would say you all. But in a weird way, I would be thinking, thank you guys for being here.
Yeah,
you
know what
I mean? It's like, and I would translate it into.
In your head. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Oddly enough, I think I like yins. I want yins to catch on more. I do. I think yins is great because it's gender neutral. It's a little different from yous. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a little more, you know, open, doesn't it? I don't know. I want to push yins.
I don't like it though, because I mean, to me, I don't like it because the Z ending makes it seem like it's something like, I don't know, it's cacophonic to me. It sounds ugly.
No, it's exotique. I like it. I'm pushing yins. I want to tell you, Chrissy, you and I together, we're going to make yins catch on.
Well, Kathy may go missing from this whole conversation very soon. This is an email from Jamie in Coffeeville.
Uh-huh. Hi, Jamie.
Where is Coffeeville?
There's a Coffeeville, Kansas. I don't know if this is that.
Could be. I don't know. Wentz went missing. If I recall correctly, reporters and the like used to just say was missing or was reported missing or variations on the theme. But now all I hear or see is went missing. Mm-hmm. Why and where and when did this happen?
Wow.
I like that question, Jamie, because I don't like went missing. How do you guys feel about went missing?
What would you say for a specific moment in time? Like
was missing.
But let's say the date they disappeared was September 15th.
That's a good question, Fletcher.
I would say disappeared.
Or was reported missing or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure I have a huge problem with it if we're talking about that specific date. I don't see why disappeared or was reported missing is any better than went missing if we're talking about a specific date or time.
I agree. I think it came into being like 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh, wow. Really?
I mean, not itself.
Oh, as a biggie.
In America,
really,
in the States.
Yeah.
Like really no, it has widely like a, used. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically used in British English much more commonly, and then it came over here because everyone liked how British English sounded. Mm-hmm. But I don't really mind it. And it's basically, I mean, it's not incorrect because go, I mean, it's a derivation. It's obviously a form of go.
To go missing.
Yeah. And then went missing is past tense. And like, you know, you could, I mean, in parlance, you could go crazy. He went crazy, you know, eating figs one day. He's, you know. And go, therefore, is just the same thing. Go crazy, went crazy. Go missing, went missing. So it doesn't really bother me.
I don't like it.
Why, Kath?
That's what I'm trying to figure it out. I really don't like it. I like Jamie for writing. Jamie, was that a guess? Jamie mm-hmm. from Coffeeville. I don't care for it. I it clangs on my ear. It bothers me. It went missing. They were missing. Okay, blah, blah, blah. We learned that they were missing on this date. I don't know. What do you say? They went. It seems like they're actively missing okay. themselves.
But there's so many other usages of go with the thing. Okay. We went public with our radio show.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'm not crazy about that, but all right.
Okay, I mean...
I can live with it. But I wouldn't say... you would say I went public. Never mind.
Yeah, we went public.
Yeah, okay, went public. Went missing just sounds wrong to me. Huh. Maybe it's the ING that did it. Like, what? Give me something else that you would say go with a ING.
I went looking for him.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't say I went looking for him. Never mind.
Yeah.
I just don't want, I don't know
so
why.
You would prefer
I don't
saying,
care for it.
I looking for him yesterday.
What yes, I would. That's what I always say, Ross, in fact. It's just, as if you were living right here, right now. No, I just don't care for went missing. Huh. I prefer missing. I she is missing. She was missing. She was reported as missing. She disappeared. She went missing just doesn't sound right to me.
My guess, though, is I think it's useful. I think Fletcher really pointed out the use of it when you're saying, you know, he went missing 10 years ago. And you could say he was reported, but he went missing is quicker and it sounds fine.
Yeah.
I agree with, I see what you're saying.
And was reported missing is actually a little bit different because he went missing. Maybe he wasn't reported missing. Maybe mm-hmm. he just went missing.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say he got lost?
But that's different too. That's a different sort of statement. My gut feeling with you, and I mean, it's I'm inferring what you're saying, what you're feeling, but I think it basically, Kathy has a thing about people like calling in New York for a while. With the British invasion of media, people were calling bubblers instead of water fountain.
No, it wasn't bubblers. It was tins. It was tins.
Whatever. Okay, whatever it was. But my point is, I think what you don't like is the Anglophile feeling of it.
And yes, I think you're absolutely right.
And I think that's why. But I think, and Fletcher probably agrees, I think it's sort of useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You're right. But I think that my prejudices are valid. For me. Thank you. I have to go now to the bubbler. Well, it didn't catch up. What fascinated me, though, was it was very common in the British Commonwealth and in the UK. It didn't really catch on in the United States for a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I don't like it. Yeah. So it was better when it wasn't here, you know. But I'm in Spain. They don't say it here. So never mind. Okay, let's move on. Oh, this is one now that we've talked about, but we have to do it. Te Rapa in New Zealand is going through our back catalog.
Oh.
Why do we say when picking up the phone, this is she or this is he? Why would we not say him or her? We've discussed this because I'm a this is she person. Mm-hmm. It would seem to me that it is implied that the caller is looking for him or her. Naturally, my question to the person answering the phone would not be, are you her, not are you she?
Okay, Fletcher, can you answer this?
We talked about this some time ago, and my only answer, probably even then, I can't remember exactly what we said, would be like you're sort of just cutting off the rest of the sentence when you say that, right? This is he who is talking. This is
not necessarily that's a way to figure it out.
Yes.
But there's
yes.
a strong grammatical reason why it even this is she period without any inference of a longer sentence is correct.
My whole life is when it comes to language and grammar is this is a way to figure it out. I don't actually know.
Good. That's good.
I don't know the rules. So you're going to have to tell me that.
Okay. The rule is really simple. Basically, it's a compliment. It's basically we talked about linking verbs. When you're looking for someone, you're doing something. It's sort of like an action. This is she is just a is she is a complement of this. It's just basically two kind of noun-like things describing each other. There's no active verb telling you what. When you're looking, you're using your eyes to see. I'm looking for her. this is she is this equals she. Basically, it's an equal sign.
Yeah.
Is an equal sign.
What is this? Is this like
to be verb is equal.
Yeah, it's like a linking verb. Is that what we call that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
This equals he. Right.
Yes.
Well, so why doesn't this equal him?
It can't be this is him because that's not a noun now. That's an accusative case or an objective case, you'd call it.
It's implying that an action is taking place. And there is none.
Yes.
Go, I'm sorry,
it just
Ross.
Exists. No, that you did it better, Kath. You're right. Mm. It just exists.
That said, what I was going to say now is, Ross, you're answering the phone. Is this Ross?
Yes, me, I'd say it automatically.
Yeah.
I would say it's incorrect technically, but I would say it's me.
Fletcher, you would do the same, would you not? You would not say this is...
As long as I knew the person I was talking to.
Thank you.
I wouldn't.
Thank you. Yes.
I wouldn't say it's me to random. You know.
No, of course
solicitor.
Not.
But you would say that. Yeah. I still say this is where, like, I who am like more relaxed than either of you, I think generally, am the opposite. I usually say this is she and it is I. Mm-hmm. I do. I don't know. It's mom's fault, probably, Ross. Right.
I have that. Yeah.
And I hear my saying, I sound so stuffy. Yes, this is shame.
I was horrified. I was watching the World Cup with my son, and, you know, with a bunch of people. And my son goes something like, oh, my gosh, it is he who did the goal. What have I done to this poor guy?
Ross, like the hair shirt time.
I also say this is he when I'm talking to someone I don't know and they ask for Fletcher on the phone.
I do too.
Because you're being more formal. Yeah. Yeah.
I do that when it's formal too. I do that. I completely agree. I go, this is he. If they go, is this Ross Petra speaking? Yes, this is he.
You
I
know
would do
what?
That.
I wonder if it's some kind of subconscious power play on my part too. Like speaking that formally to somebody I don't know, does that put me in a higher position?
Interesting.
That is good.
We go back to register, which we've talked about a million times. And I think that you're right. I think that we do. We go into the formal, like, you know, I am erudite.
Yeah.
I know.
I wonder. Know. I just thought of that. I may have exposed myself.
you're really right about that. Because it's just guessing. Because if my wife calls and goes, Ross, I go, yeah, it's me.
Yeah, of course.
But if you're right, I mean, automatically. But I would say, you know, this is he. If someone, you know, hello, this is he.
Hello.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, this is a pain in the butt.
All right. Let's do it, Ross. We put this one off. Matt in Seattle, we apologize. He wrote us a long time ago.
Hi, Matt.
And Ross and I keep saying we're going to answer. And we could go like, next time, next time, next time. But here we go. It's a different question from Matt in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
He said, what's the right way to say it? Is it different from or different than or different to?
Oh, yeah.
And what's the difference? Cute, Matt.
I might have mentioned this a long time ago, but I was really, really proud when I heard my daughter, when she was like 2 years old, saying different from. And like that was just the natural way she said it because I never taught her that, but that's just what I say. And so, of course, that's what she learned. But
you have raised her well.
Yes. okay. So, like I mentioned a few seconds ago, I don't really know rules, but different from. You're like contrasting the things instead. It's not a comparative. Yeah, bigger than would be like comparing two things, but different isn't the same kind of comparison. I don't know. I'm not going to get the technical terms right here. I know that probably you're supposed to say different from, but it probably also doesn't matter.
Well,
depends on who you ask.
Kath, do you want to go on?
This is why we didn't do it.
This
forever.
Is a mess.
Yeah.
Different
really
from is.
Is
the oldest. Different from is the oldest. It goes back to the 1400s. But
different to and different than were added after that, but they've been used forever too. It's like it's all about conjunctions, which always make my brain want to explode. The to, the from, and the than, right? We did different than a while ago, didn't we? When we did pet peeves about a year ago? I think we did.
That sounds right.
Yeah. All right. So we've got from, than, and to. From is the oldest, as Ross said. We can give you a million examples of that. Mm-hmm. But then we had then started getting used. But back, we've talked about him before, Robert Baker, in the 1770s, who wrote this whole book. He said, you should never say different than.
He said basically this. He said, first of all, he opened with saying, I quitted school at 15. I confess that I'm entirely ignorant of the Greek and indifferently skilled in Latin, where I can construe nothing but what is easy.
But listen to
in
me
spite
anyway.
Spite of all this, I know, listen to me anyway. He said that.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, a different manner that is not English.
We a say different manner than.
I'm sorry,
is not
I said it
difference.
Wrong.
You have to emphasize that.
Yes, than. We say different to and different from. To the last of which expressions, I have in another place given the preference as seeming to make the best sense. Basically,
I gotta interject. He cannot write. Robert Baker was a lousy writer.
Although we have to look at context. 1770, maybe he was a good writer.
I still think
Give
it stank.
Him that. But the key thing is he basically arbitrarily decided this.
Uh-huh.
Then in the 19th century, in the 1800s, a bunch of grammarians decided, hey, this Baker guy may have some point here. But that's it.
Yeah, okay.
But then they said you should only use than if it followed a comparative adjective. So I am sillier than you. This is not different from or different than. This is not the different.
Right.
This is still the than.
Just when you should use than.
Uh-huh. I'm already ready to scream. This is why we didn't want to do this, Ross.
I hate us.
I hate this.
So they basically said don't use than unless you've got a comparative adjective before it. Sillier, bigger, whatever. So they also decided that different is not a comparative adjective?
Kath, you want to answer that? Because this is a mess.
No. Some thought it wasn't, but then others said,
yes,
it is.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like if you just maybe don't think about it too hard, it seems clear that it would be because something is different.
I would think so.
Different
yeah.
from than something else. Like you're comparing the two, right? That's what I mean.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you had some grammarians say, no, different is not a comparative adjective. Others said, absolutely.
Basically, I think if it sounds good, you say it. We have two quotes from Charles Darwin, who seems fairly authoritative in matters of bugs, but whatever. Here he goes. What could be more different than the long, immensely long spiral proboscis of a sphinx moth? This is in the same book, The Origin of Species. Then a little bit later, he goes, natural selection may modify and adapt the larva and insect to a score of contingencies wholly different than those which...
From, wholly different, which
concern the mature insect. We have two usages, than and from a Brit in 1859.
But, that first one you gave... He said, what could be more different than?
Than.
That is clearly
comparative.
You got it. You're right, Fletcher. That's a really good point.
I think that we just should all calm down.
Yes. That often is the answer here, and I agree. As someone who, as I mentioned, I was proud that my daughter said different from, I also believe we should all calm down about it. Like, who cares?
I think so, too.
I think so. From tends to be more frequently used. Than is sometimes used. I think that you just say, most people say different from. Different from is a popular one.
That's interesting. I hear different than a lot more than different from.
Do you? Yeah. Different from tends to be more. But then you go back to now, and Brits tend to say different to as well, whereas Americans say different than. So Americans are more prone to different than, Brits different to, everybody in general different from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do I say?
I would say different from most all the time.
Yeah, I would too. But wow. You know, how could it matter, really? We know exactly what somebody is saying.
I'm going to interrupt. When you do a clause, I would say than. Like, Merriam-Webster has this example. I had a different experience than you did. There I would use than.
That's always weird.
Oh, yeah, I would never say I had a different example, different experience from what you did. No.
That's always weird to me because I never, and this is part of the problem of trying to stick to something when it doesn't really matter that much. But I try so hard to avoid saying different than that I never say it in that case either. I would end up saying something like, I had a different experience from the one you had.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I would say I would say I had a different experience than you. Yeah. I would. Actually,
that's what
that
I would say
come
too.
Very automatic. I'm fascinated by the different two, which is British. I don't think I've ever said different two.
No way.
No way.
No.
No way.
That's definitely never a British thing that I would know. I mean, I can't imagine saying like, you know, the house is very different to your last one. It's like,
no,
what?
No, never. That would sound really weird to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole thing really gets me though, because we all didn't really know the rule, quote unquote rule, but we all basically have a basic understanding of van and from in terms of distinguishing what sounds weird and what doesn't just by hearing English, which is always really interesting.
It is. We realize so much of what we do is ear. Okay, I got it. I'm sorry, guys, but Matt had more to ask us. So a little more for Matt. Mm-hmm. He said, and speaking of different, what's the difference between different and disparate? Matt, you're making our lives difficult.
This one I knew. Did you know this, Fletcher, or do you, Kathy? I mean, this one I would distinguish.
The difference between different and disparate.
Yes.
I would also not use them interchangeably.
I did know the difference, but I don't know that I would have articulated it. I just know when to use one and then the other, I think.
Disparate seems more like things that are far apart to me. Maybe not in physical location, but...
You got it.
That's it.
So, well, explain a little more.
Different is different.
Mm-hmm.
Disparate is there's no common ground.
Okay.
There's no correlation automatically that you're seeing.
Wholly distinct.
So it's like it really is apples and oranges versus a Macintosh and a Delicious.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although apples and oranges are both round fruits that you eat.
Oh, well, stop it. Okay. Apples and a piece of granite.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
That's fair. Yeah.
I was trying to be elegant.
Yeah, that one I instinctively, I think, but again, we go back to instinctively. That Kathy said it right when she said, you know, we can't, it's hard to like basically state, but you know it instantly, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of us do.
Yeah.
But the one problem looking quickly at etymology, the one problem is with looking at like the background of the word is apparently disparate comes from a Latin word meaning dis, which was apart, and then parare, which is to get ready or prepare. And they go, why did that happen? They're thinking, well, maybe from dispar, Latin, unequal, unlike. And par being equal, so therefore it's not equal, which to me could be different. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
With yeah.
The,
yeah.
And that's the danger of it, you know? And then different comes from the Latin, which is dis, which we just talked about. And then ferre, which is to bear, to carry. So carrying away.
Mm.
So that could also be disparate. So if we look at the etymology, the background of the word, which is always dangerous, we could go, oh, they mean the same thing, which they don't.
Yeah.
This is why sometimes I think it's, I mean, the old ignorance is bliss comes to mind. It's like nice to just sort of walk around like, la, 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 la. You know? I don't know.
But another interesting thing is you could never say disparate. I would never say disparate from, disparate to.
Yeah, that's
no.
Right.
Or disparate thing.
They simply are disparate.
I like that.
And I think that sort of sums up disparate there.
All right. Our final mailbag question is Chester.
Hi, Chester.
Asked us a question. We've been asked this a few times, actually. He wrote, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm speaking expert advice to put all doubts out of my mind. The rule stating you can't start a sentence with but or and isn't really a rule, right? However, too, all okay. And then parenthetically added, I'm having a minor debate with my partner who finds it, quote, helpful to edit my writing. Helpful to edit my writing. Oh, Chester, we feel for you. Anyway, so can you start a sentence with but, and, or however?
Easily. I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. We all do. And there's no such rule. There is no rule saying you can't do it. And I mean, there are no really rules in English anyway. And there's certainly no rule on that. No one says it. You can easily say it, or no one should say it.
Yeah, where did that come
from? But
Just English teachers?
Yeah. People, actually, it came from like a, I think, we think, everybody thinks, most people think, it came from like a really nice concept. They didn't want kids to use sentence fragments. Mm-hmm. They were oversimplifying.
Okay.
It's just like start, you know. So it, nice idea, good way to like confuse people for like, you know, generations.
Yeah. So you tell the kid in third grade or whatever, don't start your sentence with and, because really what you want is them not to use sentence fragments, which also, by the way, sometimes are fine, in my opinion. But the problem is you don't tell them by seventh grade that, okay, it's actually okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And then Merriam-Webster has a great, you know, the Elements of Style by William Strunk and E.B. White.
Uh-huh.
They open with, but since writing is communication, clarity can only be a virtue, period. And although there is no substitute for merit in writing, two beginning sentences, but and and, right there.
Right there.
And I think that's, I mean, it's fine. Just don't do it too many times. That's all.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm not a big Strunk and White fan. I know that a lot of people are, so I shouldn't be, I should shut up. But they did say that a lot of times that also they think this rule was because people overdo it.
Well.
I am actually one of those people. I do. Ross, you can attest to that.
Yeah.
I'm big on but, so, you know, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just inelegant to overdo it. That's
all. It's fine. Although this one really got me. There's a quote in the American System of English Grammar, 1826. This is like a mathematical paradox.
Okay.
Or never begins a sentence, paragraph, or chapter. Well, the guy wrote or begins that sentence.
Gotcha.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petras records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petras from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic, or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org. or email them at kandrpetras@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
The fatal shooting of a teenager at a protest in Seattle has gone unsolved for 6 years.
This is open in your face. How are there no answers?
Our investigation has uncovered new evidence and witnesses who say they've never talked to police.
Did police ever call you?
Not once.
Listen to We Keep Us Safe, a new true crime series on the Embedded podcast from NPR.